Good morning. It's the 20th of February. Our first reading for the day is Exodus 31 and 32. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Tennant, Moses, my servant. I read. While the people prepared for idolatry, Moses was receiving the final words concerning the inspired construction of the tabernacle. He would have helpers, men of wisdom, guided by the creative spirit of God, and these would work under the direction of Moses to one end, that God might dwell among them. Moses must have felt elated and have given willing consent to the final message concerning the observance of the Sabbath as a perpetual sign between God and the children of Israel. Finally, as the time of communion between God and his friend drew to a close, there were delivered into the hands of the lawgiver two tables of stone, divinely inscribed with the testimony, written with the finger of God. The finger which had brought plagues upon Egypt and had been acknowledged by the defeated magicians was the writer of the law for God's people. Moses took the precious tablets in his hands. Down below there was Babel. The golden calf, or bullock, was lifted up. They changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Saviour, who had done great things. Changed their glory. Notice that. What a man does to his God, he does to himself. If his God is cast in the form of a beast, then surely the man will be bestial. They wanted gods to go before them, as every man wants and needs. Some figurehead, some ambition, something to lure onwards or to tantalise, something to arouse passions or to satisfy the nobler powers of the mind, man must have something ahead of him. He rarely sees the grave or destruction. Thus the golden god drew them to itself, and Aaron proclaimed a feast to the Lord for the following day. They were up early on the day of the fair, for with their offerings and eating, they mingle sporting, probably between the sexes, and drinking. Like a clap of thunder, the message came to the stone-laden Moses that thy people have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way. He who had lately received vision of holiness was now instructed concerning the evil doings of Israel, and with heavy heart he met Joshua, and they descended together. But not before Moses had lodged a burning plea with God. Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants. Even while the people were still engaged in their wild abandon, Moses had secured for them a reprieve from immediate destruction. Moreover, in self-sacrifice he had forgone a blessing which the Lord would have bestowed upon him, when he said, "And I will make of thee a great nation." The mind of this man held no aspirations to earthly glory, no self-seeking, no special honours. One thing only did he desire, the glory of God in Israel. No doubt Aaron had been overwhelmed by the insistent lust of the people. Shamed himself, he had put them to shame in making them go naked before their God. That must have led to all kinds of wickedness. Moses moved to the gate of the camp, away from the iniquity of the people, and sent up a cry, "Who is on the Lord's side?" A cry that has echoed down the ages and will ring even to the gates of the coming kingdom. May that kingdom soon come. Thank you for listening.